an official welcome to the gathering of Recreate Church. Good for you guys. You set your clocks. You made it. You're all right. You're here. Sermon title. The name. Yeah, I forgot that last night. It's a busy day. So the title of the sermon is not sermon title. I may fake you out on that someday and see if you think, oh man, Pastor Michael has officially lost his marbles. His cheese has slid right off of his cracker. It's been a week, y'all. It's been a week. It's been a busy week, a good week. We're making some preparations. You know, if you think of the Shockley family, pray for us. We've got some big stuff coming, and it's exciting to be a part of it. Something else exciting today. We got a birthday today, Rosa Fields' birthday. I got to call her out. It's not every day I get to, the preacher gets to wish his granny a happy birthday. So, do you ever get nostalgic for weird stuff? Like things you wouldn't expect to miss, things you might not see again. You ever get, I don't know, I'm kind of a 90s kid, so I get nostalgic sometimes for some of that stuff. Not some other things. Beanie Babies, okay, yeah, those were cool. My sister had those. Frosted Tips, nah. Katie tried to talk me into getting Frosted Tips. I'm so glad I didn't. She's usually very wise and has incredible taste, and she talked me into this haircut, which seems to work, but the Frosted Tips were a thumbs down, because pictures would exist of that, and there's already enough pictures of me looking like the guy who got rejected from the Backstreet Boys with the middle part and the bangs down on my face. Those pictures exist, but if you're a good and kind person, you will pretend you don't know that. Get it, you know, get nostalgic for Super Nintendo. Do miss Super Nintendo. We dug ours out, the one that I got. I worked at the flea market and bought a used Super Nintendo when I was 14. We busted that thing out, and I'm going to have to whip some people on Mortal Kombat maybe sometime in the coming weeks. You know, it's this week has been like a strange nostalgia for something I don't want, okay? Do you realize what was going on 4 years ago right now? 4 years ago right now, the world was about to go bonkers, and we really didn't understand it. I certainly didn't. Right now, 4 years ago, we're like a week away from getting booted out of this building into the parking lot where we would stay for 16 months. 16 months we were out there total. That preaching, I got the chance to preach in the sun. I had an awesome farmer's tan going because I was like real tan, like just from the neck up. Got a chance to preach in the rain, in the snow, in the cold with my, you know, I backed up to a space heater. We had like one of those job site heaters backed up to that. In the storms, we had some lightning from time to time and did not die, as you can tell. Did not die. You know, we were under a pop-up canopy for a while. We were in the, then we got real classy. We got ourselves a garage in a box. And that's out here now. It's like the tarp covered, like rounded over. I'm not sure what you call it. It's a garage in a box. That's what the box said, garage in a box. So I assume that's what it is. It was difficult and frustrating and wonderful and blessed. God blessed us then. Some churches didn't survive COVID, okay? We're not any better than those folks, but for God's own reasons, at a time when a lot of churches closed for good, God sent us new people. And I do not want us to be mobile again. Enough of our history has been mobile. I've been packing instruments in and out of places for long enough. I hope we are no longer nomadic. But I kind of miss getting to preach to the whole town. That was cool, you know. God blessed it. It was good things. Never want to go back outside. But I'm just glad how God blessed us, not in spite of weird times, but through the weirdness we were blessed. So one of the best ways to get through a difficult time in your life is to find some way to laugh about it. And we definitely had to do that during the height of COVID. And I want to bring back a little something that I did then, because a lot of you haven't heard it. A lot of you have joined our fellowship since then. Okay, let me tell you, if you have heard this before, do me a favor. Act like it's new to you. If you have not heard this before, And you're like, I think this is going to trigger me. I'm going to go ahead and apologize for that in advance. But I want to do something for you that I call the 12 months of COVID. Okay? You'll know the tune. In the first month of COVID, pandemic gave to me endless days of quarantine. You with me so far? In the second month of COVID, pandemic gave to me two pairs of pants that still fit and endless days of quarantine. On the third month of COVID, pandemic gave to me three canceled trips, two pairs of pants that still fit and endless days of quarantine. Still have those pants. They're still the only ones that fit. On the fourth month of COVID, pandemic gave to me four mental breakdowns, three canceled trips, two pants that fit, and endless days of quarantine. On the fifth month of COVID, pandemic gave to me back to phase one, four mental breakdowns, three canceled trips, two pants that fit, and endless days of quarantine. On the sixth month of COVID, pandemic gave to me 6 feet of social distance, back to phase one, four mental breakdowns, three canceled trips, two pants that fit, and endless days of quarantine. On the seventh month of COVID, pandemic gave to me 7 rolls of Charmin, 6 feet of social distance, back to phase one, four mental breakdowns, three canceled trips, two pants that fit, and endless days of quarantine. Whew. On the eighth month of COVID, pandemic gave to me 8 months of homeschool, 7 rolls of Charmin, 6 feet of social distance, back to phase one, four mental breakdowns, three canceled trips, two pairs of pants that fit, and endless days of quarantine. On the ninth day of COVID, pandemic gave to me 9 Netflix binges, 8 months of homeschool, 7 rolls of Charmin, 6 feet of social distance, back to phase one, four mental breakdowns, three canceled trips, two pants that fit, and endless days of quarantine. On the 10th month of COVID, pandemic gave to me 10 people at social gatherings, 9 Netflix binges, 8 months of homeschool, 7 rolls of Charmin, 6 feet of social distance, back to phase one, 4 mental breakdowns, 3 canceled trips, 2 pairs of pants that fit, and endless days of quarantine. We're up to 11, right? On the 11th month of COVID, pandemic gave to me 11 sanitizers, 10 people at gatherings, 9 Netflix binges, 8 months of homeschool, 7 rolls of Charmin, 6 feet of social distance, back to phase one, 4 mental breakdowns, 3 canceled trips, 2 pairs of pants that fit, and endless days of quarantine. On the 12th month of COVID, pandemic gave to me 12 cans of Lysol, 11 sanitizers, 10 people at gatherings, 9 Netflix binges, 8 months of homeschool, 7 rolls of Charmin, 6 feet of social distance, back to phase 1, 4 mental breakdowns, 3 canceled trips, 2 pairs of pants that fit, and endless days of quarantine. Thank you. You guys did great. Some of y'all heard that and before and you're like, yay! I forgot that. Woo! I'm so glad those days are behind us. Don't want to go back to that. You know, there was the one little bit of kind of that whole thing that appealed to me, and you don't believe I'm an introverted person because I'm standing in front of a crowd, but that's not what an introvert is. An introvert is not a person who's afraid of people. An introvert is a person who's got to get alone to recharge, so that part of that was pretty nice. I got to recharge. We got to have some days where we get alone and kind of, whew, okay. But we're not made to do that forever. And we really haven't recaptured that as a culture yet. We have become so isolated that we forget God made us for community. Long-term isolation is not good for us. Just ask the guys in the story I want to tell you today in this sermon titled, Sermon Title. No, it's actually the resource and the source. The resource and the source is what it's supposed to be. I kind of forgot to fix that last night. During COVID, people were kind of like scared to be near each other in those early days. I remember seeing the guys in the grocery store. I was like, okay, hi. You know, but I grew up in such a way that I was kind of backwards and bashful anyway. And there was a lot of years where if I saw you in the grocery store, and even if I liked you and you didn't see me, you weren't going to see me. You understand? I still have a little bit of that now, but I've mostly gotten over that because I don't want to, you know, I really do care about people. It just, have you been around people before? So you know what I'm talking about? Okay. So at the these guys in our story lived in total isolation. They had a shortage of connection, community, support, had a shortage of a lot of things. We kind of got used to that in the height of COVID. It seems like all the shelves were bare and we couldn't find the things that we needed. And still today, the shelves, there's stuff on the shelves, but the cost of everything is stupid right now. Those people who got chickens are looking pretty smart right now. Come on. Thank you, sweetheart. Me and my wife got chickens. We still got chickens. Although, if you think chickens are going to save you a lot of money on eggs, think again. Because you're going to spend a lot in feed and everything else. But you'll have them. It can feel like we don't have enough resources. Hey, there we go. Use the thank you, Janai. You picked up on that. We can feel like we don't have enough resources. You ever heard of scarcity mentality? You heard that term, scarcity mentality? Let me just maybe explain that. Imagine you're with a group of friends and you've got pizza and there's one last piece of pizza and you'd really kind of like that last piece of pizza. Do you? What do you do there? Lots of things you could do, but if you're like, man, I better get that last piece of pizza before anybody else does because there's not enough pizza to go around. I got to get that last piece of pizza. That may be what you do. Or you might be the more socially anxious type and you're like, there's no way I'm taking the last piece of pizza. I will not take the last piece of pizza. I will not be the one who takes that. I might cut it in half, but I will not take the last piece of pizza at all. Do you understand that kind of those two extremes come from the same place, this belief that there's not enough? There's not enough to go around. Not enough stuff, not enough money, not enough time, not enough opportunity. The focus is on the resource, that there's not enough of this resource. There's an obsession with what we lack, with what we don't have or what we might not have. And it can lead to fear, competition, hoarding, resentment, like the people who bought all of the toilet paper. And we still have like a secret stash. Oh, I should have probably told you that because if it busts out again, you'll be knocking on my door. So that's what leaves are for, people. Didn't y'all grow up country like I did? No? No? Okay, fine. You just got to know which leaves. Leaves are three. Let it B. Whew. Okay, scarcity mentality is something a lot of us pick up in childhood. If you grew up and had the idea that, hey, there's just not enough. And, you know, a lot of us did grow up and when there wasn't a whole lot, there wasn't an abundance. Maybe an abundance of love, but maybe not abundance of resources. And sometimes we go through hard times as grown-ups that kind of make us worry that we're not going to have enough. But we need to understand that's just the resource. The bigger truth is there's a source behind the resource. Every good thing ultimately comes by the grace of God. Here's the heart of the message. Use the resource. Trust the source. Even if you get all the stuff, it eventually runs out. But the source, Jesus, will never run out on you. You ready for a story? We're in Luke 17. We will get back into the book of Mark, but this week we're going to take a little detour in the book of Luke. Similar timing here. Luke 17:11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Let's stop there and pray. Heavenly Father, show us now that Jesus is the source and help us to trust him more than the resource. In Jesus' name, amen. So at the time of this story, it's similar to where we are in the book of Mark. Jesus is on his last trip to Jerusalem. You know, in Mark, he's really close to the crucifixion. So you can back it up about a week or so, and that's where we are here. He's on his way from Galilee in the north to Jerusalem, kind of in the middle of the country. And he is going to lay down his life for our freedom, for our forgiveness, for our healing. He's going to be arrested on false charges, crucified, buried, and 3 days later, he's going to rise up out of that grave, defeating death and the devil. There it is. Man, I'll tell you, that's good stuff. That'll put the spirit of Ric Flair up all over you, won't it, Billy? Woo! Woo! So he's coming down through Samaria, and 10 men are standing way off, shouting to him for help. Why are they standing way off? I'll tell you why. They were social distancing. These men had a disease called leprosy. It's a bacterial skin infection that slowly rots you away. Terrible stuff. It was seen as so highly contagious that anybody with leprosy had to isolate from everyone, and if an uninfected person came near, they had to shout, "Unclean, unclean." In other words, stay back. You don't want to catch this. No wonder these 10 guys were calling out for mercy. Their resources were in short supply. They lost their resource of community connection, and because they could not work a regular job, they could not participate in commerce, they probably had very little of the resources of every other kind. No money, no opportunity, no family, no friends except for other people stuck in the same hopeless situation. No way out. So they've heard about Jesus. Somehow, some way, they know that he is a miracle worker, and they cry out to him, "Jesus, have mercy on us." Jesus responds in verse 14. "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." Oh, there's a big reveal right there, isn't it? We're going to let that marinate for a little while before we talk about the second part of that verse. It's a big reveal. Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priests. Well, that sounds weird to us. If you were sick and you had a medical problem, you would go to a doctor, not a spiritual leader. But under Old Testament law, the priests had a special role in diagnosing and making determinations about leprosy. Let's talk about why. The Old Testament has a lot to say about leprosy. You get in the book of Leviticus and you can get bogged down in the leprosy of it. It's really a lot. But that's not just because it was contagious and incurable and awful. Leprosy was an illustration of a spiritual principle. Leprosy is like sin. It starts small, but if it's not dealt with right away, it will take over your life. It will rot you. It will wreck you. It will take opportunities from you. It will cut you off from the people who are most important to you. One of the biggest problems with leprosy was that it killed the nerves. So you couldn't feel in your extremities, like fingers, toes, like the end of your nose, ears. You couldn't feel pain. Well, that sounds kind of good. It's like, you mean it wouldn't hurt me anymore. I wouldn't hurt. Okay, yes, but don't you understand? Pain is the signal to stop what you're doing. If you are hammering in a nail and you hit your finger, the pain will tell you to stop hammering. Don't hammer anymore. Stop before you hurt yourself worse. But if you have no pain sensation in your fingers, you might keep on hammering and do irreparable damage to your fingers. So a lot of people with leprosy would end up losing fingers and toes and even the tip of their nose and their ears, not because they were rotted off by the disease, but because they were injured because they couldn't feel the pain of it. Understand, sin is like that. When you choose something that is wrong or destructive, it should like ping your conscience, all right? You should feel some pain from that. And that's a signal to stop. Stop doing what you're doing because it's going to cost you big time. But if you let sin go deep enough, it deadens that reaction. You stop feeling the pain from it. You do damage to yourself and your family and your relationships, and it doesn't bother your conscience like it used to. You go further and further, deeper and darker than ever thought you would go, and you might look around and say, whoa, how did I end up here? So deep in the trap. Because you can stop feeling the pain of it. If you can choose sin and it doesn't bother you so much, that's a very, very scary thing. That's a very scary thing. It's time to stop and look at that again before it damages things in ways that can't be fixed. You might damage or destroy what is most important to you. You start losing pieces of who you are. Sin will do that. Seems fun at first, but you will lose something of yourself. So this is why the priests were involved in diagnosing leprosy, because there was a spiritual element to it, or it was an illustration of a spiritual principle. So people would come to the priest and say, hey, look, my leprosy seems to be cured. Can you examine me and give me a clean bill of health? And they would actually write out a certificate that said this person is now clean. Now they can return to their families. But in the Old Testament, there is not a single case of leprosy being cured except by a miracle of God. Sin is not different. You will not be set free from sin because you decided one day, I think I'm going to be a better person today. Self-improvement, it's not a bad thing, but it's not going to fix sin. It's going to take a miracle from God. If you want to be free from it, you're going to have to go to God and say, God, I cannot fix this on my own. I have to have you. I have to have a miracle. And if you don't save me, I won't be saved. Now for the exciting part. The last part of verse 14. All right, this is the big reveal. So we would say, bum, bum, bum. Help me out. Bum, bum, bum. That was pretty half-hearted for both of y'all, but most of y'all. But I'll let it go. I'll let it go. I ain't going to judge you today. When was the moment when these lepers were cured? What's it say? As they went, they were cured. Jesus told them to go, and they were healed as they went. They probably expected that he would heal them immediately and say, hey, boom, you're healed. And, oh, yay. But he told them to go. He required something of them. He required them to go in faith. At the moment when he said go, they weren't healed. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they walked, they were healed. They had faith to trust Jesus and move forward. And as they trusted and as they obeyed, as they moved, they were healed. We would like the Lord to fix our problems up front. Right away. Immediately. Like drive-through life change. Quick fix, magic pill, silver bullet, but it usually doesn't work that way. Most likely, he wants you to walk and trust him. The Lord brings change in our lives most of the time as we walk with him, as we go forward. God is a God of progress. Okay, we call him God. What are the first two letters of the name we call him? G-O. What's that spell? Go. Sometimes we just got to walk. Got to walk it off. When I was a kid, I played tackle football. Loved it. Loved it so much. But if you play tackle football, you're going to get hurt sometimes. You're playing any kind of sport. And if you're playing a sport and you get some kind of minor injury, what does your coach usually tell you to do? Walk it off. Walk it off. Oh, you tweaked your knee? Walk it off. Twisted your ankle? Walk it off. Got the breath knocked out of you? Walk it off. 300-pound dude just landed on you and broke both your legs? Walk it off. One time playing football, I died on the field. And my coach, who was my dad, told me, walk it off. And it worked. I came back. Here I am. I got better. Okay, walk it off is maybe not the best medical advice, but it's not bad spiritual advice. There's some hurts in our lives where the best cure is to trust God and move forward. And that's all you can do. If you stay where you are and you dwell on that pain, it's just going to get worse. It's going to eat at you. These men were wasting away staying where they were. They trusted Jesus and walked where he said walk, and they were healed. They followed his instructions, and transformation came to their lives. You think that can't happen to you? You think that can't happen to the people that you care about, that the most impossible situations can't change if we will trust God and obey him and go forward? You just wait and try it. Try it. You got a hopeless situation that's as hopeless as leprosy? Try it and see. Verse 15. What happened after? So they're healed. Hooray, 10 guys healed. Verse 15 is kind of the epilogue, and it's pretty important. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said and answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But what about the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Jesus got all 10 men through it, but only one returned to show gratitude, and it was the guy who grew up in a different culture and a different religion, and the Jews and Samaritans really didn't mix much, and he's the one who came back. You didn't expect a Jewish rabbi to get a shout-out by a Samaritan, but here it is, and I love that he's shouting. He comes back shouting, and our praise for answered prayer should just be as passionate as our prayer when we're in need. All 10 guys were happy to be healed, happy to get their lives back, happy to rejoin their families, to find a job, have a home, and go back to something more like a comfortable life. They had the resource. They received the resource, their health. They were no longer contagious. They were healthy. They recognized the resource, but only one recognized the source. One man recognized where it truly came from. One was truly grateful. So all of them received physical healing, and that's a big deal. But one of them received spiritual healing, and that's a bigger deal. All of them had their bodies saved, but only one had their soul saved. We need to think about that, because these bodies are temporary. They wear out, and they go the way of all flesh, and they return to the dust. But what about your eternal soul? What about that? All of them recognized the source, but only one got the... They all recognized the resource, but only one recognized the source. So what did Jesus say to the man? He said, arise, go your way. In other words, quarantine lifted. You're good now. No more social distancing. Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Faith in Jesus made this man whole again. Faith in Jesus got him through it. So 4 years ago, we had no idea the world was about to go upside down, and it kind of hasn't gone right side up again since. Here's the big secret for getting through tough times. Use the resource. Trust the source. Use the resource. Trust the source. Money is a resource. A job is a resource. Time is a resource. Health is a resource. Opportunity is a resource. Family is a resource. Friends are a resource. Everything you pile up for yourself is a resource. And be thankful for everything you have. Be thankful for every resource. Use it wisely. But remember, every resource eventually runs out. The source will never leave you or forsake you. In this story, Jesus got all 10 guys through it. 9 went back to their normal lives. They were happy to be healed, glad for the resource of health. But one understood the source was more important than the resource. He received healing for his soul. He had his eternal story rewritten. So we aren't in the place we were a few years ago, not scrambling for toilet paper, not all of that. But we still live in a world where it can feel like we don't have enough. of what we need. We don't have enough of the resource. So every day we get up and choose. Will we trust in the resource or we trust in the source where it all comes from? Because everything you got can go away. It's an uncomfortable thought. I don't like it. But the only thing that cannot be taken away from you is your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's it. Don't forget what you really have. Listen, God will call you to trust Him with what you don't have yet. He will call you to step forward in faith when you can count your resources and you don't have the resources to do this. And you say, God, I do not have the money or the time or the ability or the opportunity to do what you're calling me to do. But hear this. When you trust God, don't you think that He is going to make it work? Stop saying you don't have enough. God's will done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Stop saying your situation can never change. If Jesus can bring hope to the hopelessness of leprosy, watch what He can do in your life, in your family, in your job, in your school, in your mind and in your heart. Watch what He can do. Trust the source, and He'll take care of the resource. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we praise You so much. You're the giver of all good things. Everything we have is from You and for Your glory. And I pray in Jesus' name that we'll understand that You are the originator, that You are the source, and that we'll trust You more than our money or stuff or things or time, that it's You, Lord, that we will look to and You we will honor. God, make us people who trust the source. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, that's it, folks. You know, hey, Easter's coming up soon. You got your calendar marked for that? Be sure and be here for that. There's going to be some fun things that day. God bless you all. I hope you have a wonderful, blessed day, and we'll see you next time.